If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This is the Boop Show for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021. Come join us! Hey everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show. It is Scott and Brian doing indie fun, yippity-yay, get it, video game time. Woo!
Way to sell it, Scott.
Woo!
We're doing the indie gaming yippity-yo fun time.
Yeah, doesn't sound like much when I describe it like that, but it really is. But we come to you today, you know, a little tired, a little beat up today. Twitch had problems all morning. There's all kinds of problems for me.
Yes, February. I saw that. They had a, and it was only related to those who were trying to go live. And I saw it plummeted as far as issues around lunchtime, my time, Eastern time.
Yeah. Because if you were already on, you were good. Yeah, if you were trying to get in, it's all about the ingest server, baby.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't ingest us. And
I can't take anymore. I'm all full.
F'd my day up, but it's okay. I got a bunch of other stuff done. And now it's all working. We're back. We got a live show going on. We got people in the chat. I got things to talk about. I will tell you that today for lunch, I decided to pause and take two frigates, break them apart, and sell them for bits and parts. I cannot get enough of Shipbreaker.
Wait, hold on a second. What's this game called again?
Hard Space Shipbreaker.
Oh, do you like that game?
I think I might really like that game. Yeah, I really like it, dude. Like
I've heard it is getting on the level of Mad Max.
It is. We're creeping up that territory. I mean, I don't know if it's just the last couple updates or something, but I just am so compelled to keep going. Like, all right, I'm going to do this giant freaking ghost ship and see if I can get some money out of it. And then I'm going to go to bed. But then I'll finish and go, well, that went pretty well. Maybe I should do another one of these. So it's got a just one more ship problem going on. And it's killing me, man. It's really, really good. And yeah, on Sunday, I almost missed my D&D show because of it. I was playing and I went, oh my gosh, what time is it? And I had like 20 minutes till showtime.
That's the best, though. I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. I got to get into it. You talk it up so much. But can I cross love your thing? Is that a possibility? Can you love something and me also love it?
Yeah, of course. Of course. All right. Wait, did you get Shipbreaker? Is that what you're saying?
No, but I thought about it.
Oh, well, if your brain settles on doing it, I will not discourage you, and also I predict you'll love it. I think you'll like it. I really do.
Is that your prediction?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. I know enough about you and your tastes that I think you'd like it. Now, I do think that there is a, for everybody who plays this game, first few minutes, you're not exactly sure what the hell you're supposed to do.
Oh.
Because you don't know how to break a ship apart in your own head, because there are no such things as these spaceships, right? So you don't know that you're supposed to, like, go inside, turn off all the air compression stuff so you have equalized air with space and inside, and you don't have airlock problems, so you don't blow yourself out into the freaking furnace. There's little things like that that once you go, oh, okay, this makes logical sense, then you're just whiz, bang, boom, man. You go up there, take off the stuff you need to, cut some nice lines, huck that into the furnace, move this over to the salvager thing, and oh boy, howdy, right underneath you is a big old tray where you're supposed to put the real valuables, computers and furniture and stuff. Start chucking them down there with your tools, flying around like you've never flown, and it's great. That game rocks. All right, enough of that. Now this. Hey, by the way, you should sell your Stadia controller, because Stadia...
Yeah, that's what I was just showing the, you know, because I just had it up because that's my show and tell. Yeah. Anybody want a controller for Stadia?
Now, Stadia is not dead yet. Okay, it's not dead yet.
It's not completely dead, but they've kind of fallen back to the thing they were kind of hinting that they were going to do. They're not going to be concerned as much about game development as the system and the infrastructure, which is,
you know what that tells me? Yeah, it tells me they're at the stage where they're one more stage away from saying, yeah, we're done with this.
Exactly. That's exactly how this is gonna go. This is typical Google. I was not shocked at all when this announcement came out. And I came out. What is that word?
Came out.
But came out. But I still this has been one of the most just best most comfortable controllers. Absolutely nonsense on if you need to work on it, because it's literally just, you know, it's molded and you can't work on it, but it is, it's just been really,
can I use that on a PC? It was really good. Or no, is it,
they kept promising you could, and I never did see where they updated it so you could. I think you can plug it, in, but it doesn't work like through Bluetooth or wirelessly.
But you can do wired if you had to. You just do a USB.
I think it does do wired. It uses a USB-C connection. But otherwise, it connects through your Wi-Fi is how it actually connects to your PC, typically.
Oh, right, because that's how they do their cloud business. Look, I think it's fine what they were doing. I think their business model sucked. And I know there are people who bought into it and got the things and are happy or whatever, and I'm glad you are. But what I'm saying is, I think their business model sucked, and I think everybody else kind of swooped in and said, hey, what if we did this? There's a better money value with Luna, right, with GeForce Now, with other stuff. And then with them like basically gutting their internal development on this thing, that just tells me they are not in it for the long haul.
No, so, and good we luck. Kind of suspected that. And, you know, I finally got invited to the Luna thing, Amazon's cloud gaming essentially, and I thought about ordering the controller, but it's like $60, and I'm like, you know, I really like the Stadia controller, and it was one of the selling points because I got the Founders Edition, which was like the controller, a 4K Chromecast, and plus 3 months of the service, and, you know, a couple of months for friends, you know, all for like about $100 and some odd. I thought that was a pretty good value prospect. But just plopping down $60 for a Luna controller, I just don't know if I can do it. Do you have one?
No. I think one? I'd rather just spend $60 on a
real controller.
But I can get an Xbox One or Xbox Series X controller for freaking $60, like
easily, or less. And it'll plug in just about everywhere and work just about everywhere.
Yeah,
I just don't know now.
Yeah, PlayStation controllers are that much. Although I don't know if you can get the I don't know if the new ones are. PS5 controllers work on PCs yet? Hold on.
Don't know if they do it through official channels. I think there's some stuff. You can definitely make it work.
Okay. How to connect your PS5 DualSense controller to your PC. PC Magazine has the answer.
Right. Is it out of the box? Probably not.
Like right now, currently Steam is... let's see. Unfortunately, Steam is currently the only simple, somewhat direct way to use DualSense on your PC. So Steam has some kind of built-in support now.
Right.
But on a per game basis, it's a little sketchy. Yeah. Right. Well, anyway, that was true of PS4 as well. I hope they get that worked out sooner, because I think I might want one of those for my PC.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into it as well. All right. Well, enough of that. Good luck, Stadia. It was nice knowing you. Here's this now. I already did this. I already pushed that. So I'm going to tell you about my game. All right. Brian, look, I'm into the weird games. You know that. You already know this. I'm not always down for just like standard stuff. I want to be shown something new. And as it turns out, I got something that's pretty freaking unique and new, at least in my opinion. And the game is called Kill It With Fire. Kill It With Fire. All right.
So, I already like the name.
Yeah. Well, you're going to like it even more, because think about this. Like what could happen in your house where you would want to kill it with fire? Give me an example.
Oh, any type of arachnid is definitely going to be kill it with fire.
Good news. This game is all about killing spiders. And chat room's getting
also would right kill here. It with a flip flop. Oh my god.
Yeah. Right?
I see it now. Yeah. Oh my god, it just came out of a drawer.
It did.
No.
Yeah. This, if you're seeing video, you're seeing the horror. Now, the game is this like on purpose, stylistically, it's this kind of low poly count looking thing. Not the, oh man, look at him kill that. It's not the most, high definition looking or, high fidelity looking game you've ever seen. But it does the job. And I think actually it works really well in its favor. Here's the goal of the game. You're in this apartment or house, I guess. And turns out it's full of spiders. And the first level is at least 10. But you don't know where they are. So you're going to different rooms. And sometimes the spiders are just like right there and they scatter. And you know what's going on. And you're like, all right, time to kill that spider. You got this clipboard with you with your objectives on it. And your goal is to kill. You can kill with the clipboard, by the way. So that's one way to murder. I was going to say,
so it's two purposes.
Yeah. You have your mission stuff and you can kill with it. But also you pick up other weapons and other tools as the game progresses. And I'll get into those in a minute. There's also a tracker that lets you sort of aliens style know when there's a spider near or far. In fact, the guy on the screen's using one right now. And you take on this living room, for example, just like you would any other living room, except you're going to just cause all sorts of horrible collateral damage in the process because your goal is to kill every spider. And to do that, you kind of have to upend the place. And they're often behind things or in things that you don't expect, so they scare you. For example, you might pick your TV up, your flat screen, and then you'll rotate it. And then on the back will be a spider and it will scare the shit out of you and you'll throw your TV across the room. By the time I was done in here, half of this living room was on fire. TV was smashed. Piano was tipped over. Everything was all just garbage.
Now, are you getting penalized for destroying your own furniture or just?
Nope. The goal is just to do the stuff on the list. Sometimes there's mystery quests on the list. So it isn't just kill spiders. That's always on there, but there's some other bonus things. And the more spiders you kill, the more you unlock potential locked things. So you'll see a little label on like a drawer or a door or something like that that will say 5 or 10 or whatever. And when you've killed 5 spiders, the thing with the 5 on it can be unlocked. And so in that might be some special tool you couldn't access before or whatever it may be. In this case, this guy just found a door. That door can't be open until he has killed 2 of the total number of spiders, however many there are. There's a secondary goal on this level to kill a spider with a book, but I never did it. I could never kill one with a book for some reason. I tried and tried, and he's trying to do it too.
Oh, I was about to say, I thought I did it. Oh, he didn't do it.
No, it's hard because you can't.
I was about to say, he's not trying to kill it with just a book. He's killing it with a stack of books.
Stack of books, yeah. And there's some where they're just single books, but I've had bad luck either way. But again, it's like the secondary objective that isn't going to matter too much in the overall scheme of things. You can finish the level without it. But you're going to want to pick up every single object in the room, rotate it, look at it. The way I learned how to do it is this guy's very meticulously rotating. I just pick stuff up and chuck it. And if there was a spider there, it moves. Because it doesn't care how shitty your room is when you're done. It's not going
right.
to care.
That's too bad. I'm actually sad that it doesn't penalize you for that. Like, your significant other is going to be coming home soon. And if you can't just go willy-nilly throwing stuff. Because that's what happens. Look, Scott's just cheating. Scott's just throwing stuff around the room.
Yeah. Well, the game lets you, is why.
Yeah, so, I know. That's what I'm saying. You don't want Scott to be ruining the game.
Yeah. And those spiders, by the way, if you don't get them right away, they'll go hide somewhere else. And right. It's then they're freaky. Here's some sound from the game to give you a feel for how that stuff goes. Here you go, right here.
Give me it. Oh no!
And then that music, that plinky horror music.
No, not for me.
And that little bit of like discordant violin.
Yeah. Sound and no all way, that. Man. No way. This is Nightmare in full daylight. No, thank you.
Yep. My wife would hate this game is the one thing I came away from. She hates spiders, so she can't deal with it. And I found it to be quite the anxiety generator. It is really got me all kind of wired up. I saw overwhelming positive on the reviews and I thought, well, I got to try this. I have to see what's going on. Yeah. And people really seem to like it. And apparently it just gets crazier and crazier as you go. I'm only 3 big major levels in, but it just sort of goes and goes and goes. In a weird way, this is scratching my shipbreaker itch because I'm just tearing everything to pieces and just destroying this room to get rid of spiders. And there's something really satisfying about that.
I'm trying to see if that's a GameCube on the TV over there. Is that
it's a GameCube like
right?
They have a lot of that. in here, they'll have objects where you're like, oh, that's clearly supposed to be an old Xbox, or that's a VCR, or whatever. They're not like, they're subtle nods, and they're not total ripoffs, but you can tell they're, you know, they're making references to stuff, you know. And even when you think, oh, it's no way this toilet paper's got a spider on it, rotate it around, because there he is.
No, don't rotate it around. Those spiders like to go down the tube, which is way more dangerous, because you'll put your hand down the tube, your finger down the tube. No, oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that. Now, this toilet, my memory is, as soon as he goes in this bathroom here, is that the toilet, oh, he's going to get the fire. Look at this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude.
So look at this.
Oh, we can, oh, this is the part of the fire. So this is the kill it with fire part.
Yeah, you can totally kill it with fire. But this is an early and also, it's not even a significant weapon in the large scheme of things. I got far enough to get a shotgun, a handgun?
A handgun.
Not a handgun. A certain kind of handgun.
A Glock?
This guy doesn't realize all you have to do is get him a little on fire, and he'll eventually die of the fire. He's not gonna.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I what I'm seeing so far, it absolutely deserves the overwhelming positive. It's a really good idea. It's a real good package, but I am disappointed that there's not a level of difficulty that says, hey, you can't mess up anything while you're doing this. You gotta keep it clean, because that's how real life is. I mean,
yeah, but it would never happen, because the game starts to give you insane tools. There's like vacuum cleaners that are on reverse, and their job is to just blow everything in the room all over the place until the spiders come out.
Right.
There's a Cheeto bag where you dump Cheetos on the ground, and then it lures the spiders out so that you can kill them more easily, or get them to come out in mass or whatever. There's one spider that
punishment
if you,
though.
Yeah.
Punishment.
Now, when you're another, there's a certain spider, a little purple one, that when you kill it splits off into six new spiders. So I'm just saying.
This has happened where I live. There are small spiders. And, you know, when I say small, about this, you know, less than this diameter of a dime by the time you consider the body and the leg. So very small in comparison to most spiders. However, there seem to be a lot of them around here that are pregnant, and you'll hit them and 100 little baby spiders come flying out.
Yep.
Don't care for that.
Yeah. Because if you pop their little egg sac and they got little fresh babies that are ready to roll, it's bad news.
We they're not very big, but there's lots of them. I don't care for it.
Now, I think this guy's about to get his gun. Let's see if this is that. I think this might be the. Yeah. See, now this is like the big revolver.
Oh, there's the revolver. There you go.
So, of course, you want to be shooting that in the house, right?
Right.
You can rotate through these tools. There's tons of tools that come later. Things get real nuts later on. Like, this is nothing. This is all pretty basic compared to what I saw later in the game. This guy doesn't know it, but if he lifts up that toilet seat, there will be a spider in there.
Oh, well, of course he should know. He should know that.
He should know that.
That's the number one spot for a why does it keep shaking like that occasionally?
So that's a special ability you get out of the boom box that's by the toilet over there.
Right.
If you unlock the boom box, which you can only get if you kill a spider with a book, it will shake with its music so hard that a bunch of spiders will come out. And then you can kill a bunch at once instead of having to sneak around and find them all. So there's different environmental things like that where it affects the surrounding stuff. If this is the thing you're going to buy, good news. You're not going to break the bank. It's $14.99. Pretty cheap.
Right.
It's kind of your average price for small indies like this. Developed by a guy named Casey Donnellan. He has his own little development studio where he just makes his own games. And it was published by Tiny Build, who, I don't know, Tiny Build more and more these days makes cool stuff I like.
Tiny Build is always, I keep them in my list on Steam for it, because they're always finding unique little small games and bringing them to, you know, to market, or however you want to describe it.
I can't stand their logo, though. I hate their freaking logo.
Yes, it was the kid with the glasses. It's kind of...
Just it looks like some Newgrounds ass looking 90s art.
It does.
Yeah.
I kind of like it, though. It's very recognizable. I definitely know it's Tiny Build when I see it.
Well, that's true. I guess if that's what a logo is for, then they got you covered.
Right. I guess if logo is for brand recognition, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it works on that level.
That's true. Now, this guy just finished, so he's going to go leave. And you can go back and finish up any missions you don't do everything in. So there's lots of repeat playability and go back and do it again. You unlock perks in between levels that you get points for how well you did, and then you use those perks to improve your dude. I mean, it's a video game after all. There's some progression. And it came out in August, and I missed it completely, and now I haven't, yeah. And now I really like it. So go check it out. It's creative and funny without trying to be funny. It's hard to explain. Some games are hard to make funny. This game works pretty well. But it also is really going to get up your spine if you don't like spiders, and I mean it. It's freaky, dude. And yeah,
you said some, $15?
Yeah, $14.99, $15, yeah.
Kill it with fire! Exclamation mark. Is that necessarily at the end of the title?
Yes, I mean, it is there.
You want to find it?
Oh, yeah. Right. And it's also Epic, I should have mentioned. So Steam and Epic both have it. PC only, as far as I can tell. I don't know where all this would end up. You'd probably toss your Switch off the roof by accident.
Well, I definitely want to play in VR mode. I mean, this is such a VR model type game.
I don't even know if this thing's got VR. I didn't even look. Does it?
I mean, it'd have to. I mean, it's built like it. I mean,
it doesn't
whatever
have to,
it's built
though, right?
on looks like a million VR games I have.
Let me look it up.
Right now, you can pick it up on Fanatical for that's one of the places I get some of my game codes for like $12.63. So if you need to save, you know, good $2.50, there you go.
No VR support currently, but that may change.
Not too bad.
Yeah. At the moment, none. Anyway, it's a cool game. You guys should check it out. Next up, Brian brought something called Encodia.
Encodia. Are you ready for some point-and-click adventure time?
I am.
I was, because I've played a lot of roguelikes, and I've played a lot of Metroidvania types recently, and I was ready for something a little more Sam and Max. You know what I'm saying? A little more pointy-clicky. I just want to ride along with a really funny story, and that's what I got in Encodia. It's a point and click. It's dystopian cyberpunk in Neo Berlin in the year 2062. And you play by directing your 9-year-old orphan Tina, or as they say in the European English, Tiener.
Tiener?
I don't know why they do.
Do they really call her Tiener?
Okay. Oh yeah. She gets a good bit of Tiener in here. There's a lot of European English in this game.
All right.
Anyway, she was assigned at birth a big dumb robot nanny. His name is Sam 53. That was the year he was made, 2053. And they spend their time just trying to survive. So they're living on the rooftops of Neo Berlin in the city. And like I said, they're orphaned. And her mom had passed away. This is early on story stuff, so no spoiler here. I'm going to try to stay as spoiler-free from the story as possible. Her mom had passed away apparently through some type of cyberspace incident. Apparently, if you die in cyberspace, you die in the real world. And now she is on the streets with her robot.
Oh, look at this big robot moving. Okay,
I like the big robot moving. So it uses an art style which I find akin to something like Borderlands, but more cartoony. And when I say Borderlands, you know, I'm talking about that cell shading or that pseudo cell shading look that they used in Borderlands. You're seeing that here. As well, it's beautifully colored and lit. It's vibrant. It was a pleasure to play the whole time. Visually, it is just stunning. I also enjoyed the voiceover acting, which was phenomenal in most parts, especially in the primary characters. However, in some of the secondary characters, not as much. You know,
sometimes they're worse. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, you got a budget. And
I'm playing another game right now that I may do next week that has an amazing main character and main narration and then terrible secondary character voices.
That's kind of where this is. Like I said, it's kind of where, what do you do? It's a complaint, but at what point in time do you have to say when you're making a game, it's like, okay, you know, this is an indie game. We're selling this thing for like $20-$25. How far can we go? Well, I think they did great.
Well, let's hear this sample you sent me. I got a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, here you go.
Excuse me.
What can I do for you, Model Sam? Release year 2053, Cat C patent 18.
Do you know how to recover deleted data from a Model SAM?
Hey, I'm selling stuff. I'm no hacker. Even if I do sometimes brute force streaming channels to watch Italian football.
So I assume that Sam, that guy talking about himself as the robot, the robot, Sam.
Right. As you heard Sam, Sam's got a great voice. Sounds very robot, but also very human. And he's enjoyable. The secondary character you heard was a shop owner who has a lot of computer parts. In kind of an amalgamation. That's the word I'm looking for.
I like that word. Yep.
Yeah. Of several different, like Bill Gates and a couple of nerdy people kind of rolled into one. And I enjoyed all the interactions. The interactions were point and click. So you walk up to a character, you interact with that character through dialogue choices, and you'll progress through. Either they'll give you something new to do, or hopefully give you some information that'll continue on your path that you're trying to get to. Like I said, most of the stuff you're trying to do is about survival at the core. It changes after about the second or third chapter, where you're trying to find out more about your past. A mystery has appeared, and so you want to solve it. And I just enjoy just about everything about this game. The voiceover, like I said, the gameplay
very
is fun.
Cyberpunk. The setting's very cyberpunky,
Absolutely. Sure. It's Blade Runner-esque, I guess you would say, but it's not, it's not that severe. Everything is very Asian mixed. So there's a lot of influences in Asian cuisine,
sure.
Especially. That always seems like to be the thing.
Yeah,
Like, out of all the Asian culture stuff that there is, it always seems like in these dystopian futures that the Asian cuisine is the thing that survives.
Yeah, it's always noodles. Noodles at noodle shops in the middle of a rainy street in the dark alleyway of Neo Tokyo or whatever.
Right. Yep. Neo Berlin in this case, but it's always some Neo place. Yeah. I really like this, and it's beyond just a point and click. So it's not just a point and click. You're not just going to a scene and trying to uncover hidden objects. You're actually doing things like opening up your inventory. You have a limited inventory where you can carry objects and you can combine objects. So if you have let's say you have a stick and then you find another stick, you may be able to combine those two sticks if you have the right items into a longer stick. And you may need that stick to acquire objects that are out of reach of each of the characters. Also, you can drag things from your inventory onto other characters in the game, and hopefully it'll trigger something. But 99% of the time, you usually get, I can't do that. That don't go here. Nuh-uh. Mm. And so there's these huge amounts of combinations of puzzle solving possibilities that are endless.
Apparently your character can also clip into the crotch of your robot pal.
So that was one thing that I didn't care much for. Because you can switch between the two characters. You got Tiner, and you also have Sam.
Yeah.
And you can't interact with everybody with the human, and you can't interact with everybody with the robot. So you kind of have to pick and choose, and they'll usually let you know as you go. But one of the things I didn't care for is character positioning. So you'll see, like you said, it's like I just ran over my character. That's because when I walked up to the desk, I did with Tina, and she interfaced with the robot there. Robot said, I can't talk to you. I said, okay. So I just instantly switched to Sam, and he walked over to interface, and as you can tell, the characters kind of collided.
So now your robot wiener is jammed into the back of Tiner's head. Yeah.
It's not to the point that it's very distracting, but it was like, well, I had to mark a little mark off that for that one. There you go. Yeah. Look at that.
Turns out 3D isn't as easy as we all think it is.
Sometimes stuff happens. So many collision possibilities. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah.
Developer is Chaos Monger Studio. The publisher was Assemble Entertainment. I received this as a game code for review. Came out Tuesday, January 26, 2021, so just recently. Takes about 12 hours to beat, and like I said, it's about $25 usually, or $20 on sale. And I think it's currently on sale. The game is called Encodia, Encodya. And I really enjoyed it. The music was fantastic. Like I said, most of the audio was great. I would have to give this 3 tokens out of a possible 4 tokens, or 3/4 of a full boop.
Oh, man.
Out of this game.
I forgot to work on my reviews.
I forgot
we were doing that. We got this. We were trying to come up with a good quantified review
process. I think tokens are what we should do. We should go arcade style
You think it should be tokens?
I was trying to think about it. Yeah, tokens. So, like, I remember as prices on arcades increased as the games become more complex, it went from being a single token to two tokens.
Yeah.
Never saw any three tokens. We jumped straight to four tokens and then even, you know, and then even beyond.
Well, but the way I was thinking, this is just an alternative idea, but I was thinking we should do it depending on the game. So, like, this game has, like, okay. So, like, point in mine... Clicks. Mine where I'm killing spiders.
Right.
I'd say, I'm going to give this 8 hidden spiders in the toilet seat out of 10. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, tie it to the game.
I'm going to give this 2 poops in my pants out of 5.
Right. Exactly. Except we'd have the same, you know, whatever our maximum right. and minimum numbers are, they'd be the same, but it would be something.
Oh, so we'd have to set a definite.
Yeah, because if you said 3 out of...
unit of measurement.
Because if I said 8, that sounds high. And if you said 3, right. that sounds low. But if it's out of 5, it's actually high. So we'd have to do it.
Right. Like so the mark lines are all the same. We'll have the same number of mark lines or units, but then we'll classify those units. So
yeah.
mine would be like, you said, would you have 10?
10, yeah, 10 is what I was thinking. Gives okay, us some so granularity.
I'm going to do 8... out of a possible 10 cyberpunks on the street.
Okay.
For this game.
So
because
8
that's what you
cyberpunks
run into a lot
out of 10.
Cyberpunks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like
8 out of 10 cyberpunks.
Street agree. Cyberpunks agree that Brian did it. All right. And in my case, what did I even review? I forgot. Oh, the spider thing.
Spiders.
I'm going to give it 8.5. Stacked books of 5 books that stay together somehow when you pull them off the shelf.
I love it.
Doesn't make any damn sense. All right.
It doesn't, but that's okay.
There's your games.
I will complain one thing about the game has absolutely zero. Okay. 2 complaints about the game.
Go.
People who were reviewing the game some people were complaining there's too much politics in it. And there are a few there are a few characters in the game that obviously reflect only in name mostly to a political figure that was not everybody's favorite in the world. And as a result, some people were offended by it, but it was so obscure. It was only by name that it even kind of had a sound alike.
Hold on. Are you saying there was like there were Trump jokes in there and people are now?
Yeah. So there was like it's Mayor Mr. Rumpf. And
do they know how the world works and how long we've done this forever? Do you know how many times we do stupid stuff like this? Like, are they offended that Richard Nixon is the president of the planet in Futurama and it's just his head?
Right.
Like, we do this all the time. It's what we do.
It wasn't even the character did not resemble the thing that people were being offended by. Not in personality or in action or anything else. It was just a name that rhymed with.
Then I'm going to say those guys are the true snowflakes because big effing deal. So what?
Guess what, everybody?
Funny little in jokes make it into stuff. How can they possibly be? I realize it's fresh, okay, and recent.
Right, right.
I assume anyone who'd be mad at that is mad because they liked the guy.
Right.
If those, I hate people.
Yeah, I didn't personally see it. If you're offended, you may be offended by that. I didn't see it at all. I thought it was pretty much. The character was, you know, just the typical, you know, he's running the town and he's kicked all the kids to the orphanage, you know, and now he's trying to take the orphanage away. You know, it's absolutely just.
Yeah, they've never done that before. That's never all of history of man and art. We've never once.
You haven't seen anything during the 80s. If any
break.
80s TV movie has
Lame.
Taught you anything. But,
Lame.
Oh, and. So here's a complaint. I got a copyright claim, not a strike or anything, on YouTube because one of the songs in this game apparently at 20% volume, which I had to turn down to 20% volume of the whole thing out of 3 hours worth of streaming for 30 seconds. There was a 20% volume was this song that showed up, and I got a claim like 5 seconds after I posted it. And I'm like, really? All right.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Look, I got a quick warning for people. Careful around Looney Tunes, because back in the day they had a duck, and they had a duck that looked like Hitler. And I know you don't like political figures in your video games or your TV shows or your cartoons.
I give this game 8 political figures out of 10.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
We now have two different rating scales for the same game. I like it. All right, let's do this now, which is what? Oh, gosh, I'm in the wrong place. Let's do this.
It's me, Mario.
Time to guess our games. Yeah, that's right. We took audio from an older game, and then we're going to play it, and then we're going to try to guess what each other brought. Now, I decided to dip way back into the year 1984.
Ooh.
Yes, this is a long time ago, and there have been a million games like it, but only one with this name, and there have been a number of versions of it. I will tell you, this version came from the Commodore 64.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's all you're getting.
I had one of those.
Good, maybe you played this right here.
That sounds horrible.
How about this part?
It sounds like a breaker game of some sort, like you're breaking something.
Kind of. Listen to that. That's enough to eat your soul. Any guesses?
It almost sounds like Donkey Kong, but I know it's not.
Nope. Definitely not Donkey Kong.
Now, I'll tell you, that intro music you played was really smooth, but then all of a sudden they decided to go into some kind of weird scaling. Yeah,
It goes from that this.
That sounds fantastic.
To this. Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Calculating.
Exterminate. So,
exterminate.
This game, I will give you another hint. It deals with... you could say.
Does it deal with space?
No. I'll say it deals with.
So it's abstract.
With Earth, but I mean that literally. It deals with Earth.
Interesting. Deals with Earth. Literally. Think of what Earth is. Oh, so it's like a Dig Dug?
Well, you'd be closer.
Load Runner? What was it?
Oh, you're getting there, dude. You're not there.
What is it called?
You're almost there.
Oh.
Do you give up?
Yeah, I give up.
Okay. The game that we're talking about today is Boulder Dash.
Ah, oh, Boulder Dash.
Not Boulder Dash, Boulder Dash.
Boulder Dash, yeah, Boulder Dash.
Little dude running around. Yeah. You go underneath a rock. It falls down. Now, there's a million games like it since, and this mechanic gets used a ton. Even if you played like a recent game like, what's one of those games called? Robot World Digger. Steam World Dig 2. That's what I was trying to say.
Steam. Are you talking about Steam?
Steam World Dig. Yeah.
Steam World Dig. That's it. Steam World Dig.
If you play Steam World Dig 2, you will have many opportunities to have a Boulder Dash type thing happen. But the whole goal was you go underneath a rock and it falls, but you could do it in just the right way so you can gather all the gems and then get out of there safe without getting smashed by a rock. And your skill may vary. I was never very good at it, but I remember thinking it was a really cool game. And
what was it? Wasn't there one for the Mac called Load Runner or something like that?
Yes, Load Runner, which we've actually done on this. We've done a Guess My Game before on was a very different game, though. Load Runner let you go dig holes,
right,
that creatures would fall into, and then you could bury them again. But you had to hurry because other creatures were coming to get you, and there were multiple levels and stuff. So it's a little bit different, but a similar vibe. Sure.
Right. Yeah. I think that was a problem because I remember playing Boulder Dash on the Commodore 64, and then somebody said, you ought to play Load Runner. And I was like, oh, it must be like Boulder Dash. And I don't think I ever played it, but I saw the cover art a lot, and I kept thinking, oh, it must be similar to it.
Yeah, Load Runner's cool. There's even like a new good-looking version of Load Runner from some years ago, like in the early aughts, maybe mid-aughts.
Border Bund. Oh.
Yeah, Border Bund, man. Look at those guys. Yeah. And JVC published this version for... published the Nintendo version, I think. Yeah, the NES version was a JVC-published joint.
Ooh.
Freaking JVC, dude. They were the worst. They mostly made cassette tapes for my home video.
That's recording. All I had was that and like a million. Jeez, I had so many of those cassette tapes.
All right. So there you go. Boulder Dash. Now, Brian, Boulder I'm going to play your thing.
The year is 1997. Oh. It's a third-person shooter video game.
Jesus.
That's all I'm giving you.
This was
for
only...
For the Microsoft Windows.
Let's see. That is only 13 years after mine. That's crazy. All right, here it goes. I'm going to play it. There's a monkey involved. Is it a movie thing or no? Licensed?
It is not a licensed game, but it is kind of movie-esque. It was to me, it was just a beautiful animation.
Let me hear that again, the eating. Why is that so familiar?
Right. Don't let the monkey thing fool you, because that happens very rarely, that monkey thing. But that chomping thing is a lot. Happens a lot. And you just heard the sniper mode. Oh, giving bigger hints now.
You said this is 97?
Yeah, 1997 for the PC. I think it was later ported to the Mac as well as the PlayStation eventually. I don't remember getting into the PlayStation though, but
apparently I have no freaking idea. I don't know what that is.
Murder, death, kill, MDK.
Oh, MDK!
Yes. Shiny Entertainment.
Shiny Entertainment did that. Tim or John, the Earthworm Jim guy.
Earthworm Gim.
Gim. I can't remember his name. Anyway, okay, I forgot all about MDK. That game
right.
was...
That would be David Perry, right?
David Perry, that's it. Gim. Yeah. Yeah. I always get Steve Perry, David Perry,
right.
Earth Germ Gim.
Right, Earthworm Gim. But MDK, oh my God, when that came out, I thought, yeah, this is the future. The gameplay was... not that great, but the visuals of that game was fantastic.
Am I wrong in thinking there was a weird floating baby in that?
There was a lot of weird stuff. I mean, just weird stuff. Like you heard that monkey thing. I mean, that was weird. It's like, I don't think it even happens again anytime after that. And there's a lot of instances where you'll run into really weird stuff.
This was also a game where you needed a really good computer to run it at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's laughable, but...
it is. And you can get on a good old game still,
by the
way. Yeah.
I got to watch video
of this. Actually, I think this is one of the ones I bought because this is such a favorite of mine. Like I said, it's kind of lame if you go back and look at it, but...
It was notable for using completely 100% software rendering using a Pentium or equivalent microprocessor rather than the necessitating one of the newer GPU enhancements like a Voodoo 2 card. Despite its large 3D levels and complex polygonal enemies, they were still able to pull that off. And I remember at the time everybody was like, whoa, this game.
Yeah, it was one of the best looking games at the time. $10 for MDK.
Yep. It's also on the Dreamcast, PlayStation 2. It was called MDK 2 Armageddon there. But in 2007, Interplay announced a third game was planned, but it was never
made. And failed.
Never made.
It's one of those games that creates this really weird world building that they never really went into very much anywhere. And it's like I've always wanted to go into it because the primary character has this really weird, huge... sniper helmet thing.
Yeah. Don't you think it looks like, it almost looks like those guys at, what's the game where it's like Destiny, but it's all in weird space.
Oh, Warframe.
Warframe. These look like, this dude looks like a Warframe,
design. Right.
Yeah.
And so I've always been fascinated with the visuals of this game and this really odd world. Cause I think it's supposed to be Earth after the aliens attack, and so it's been terraformed or something. I'm not really sure, but I've always wanted to go back and like write some fanfic or something, because I feel like it was a world that never got a chance to really be built. Had a really good start, but nothing really
substance. It's a weird thing. I remember it being weird then. It feels weird now. The Wraith in the chat says Pyramid Head from Resident Evil. You're thinking of Silent Hill, I think.
Hmm.
Wasn't Pyramid Head from Silent Hill?
I think that's right.
I think that so.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
But the gimmick of the game was the fact that that big old thing on his head was part of the sniper rifle, right? That was part of the, your head was in the sniper scope.
Yeah. You were a gun, basically.
Yeah, you were a gun.
Not in a Megatron kind of gun, but like a weird alien symbiote gun.
Right.
It was a weird game. Yeah. That's the kind of thing I wouldn't mind seeing somebody return to now and try to make something out of it.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. All right. Well done. Time for us to entertain one of your emails. Yeah, that's right. One of your
entertain
emails.
It.
Here it is. This email here from Brian from Denver.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Oh, wait, did I?
That was last week, right?
I'm looking at last week's. Shite. Sorry, Brian from Denver. I invoked you twice. Here it is instead. Naz2E. Is that how you'd say that? N-A-Z-2-E. Naz2E. Because it's a number 2 and then an E.
Right.
Naz2E. Anyway.
That's how I would say it.
That's a cool name. He says, hey, Scott and Brian, do you guys have any of your old 8-bit or 16-bit consoles hooked up to your TVs? I don't mean the new classic models with HDMI and such. I mean the old original boxes. Thanks and hope to hear this on the show. Well, Naz2E, you are hearing it on the show. The answer for me is no, because my TV doesn't have any of the RCA input stuff on it anymore. And I can get a adapter to do that stuff to HDMI, and they got a little powered thing and that stuff, but I don't want to do that. So I haven't done it.
I did this recently. Do I currently have one hooked up? No.
Yeah.
Have I in the last year? Yes, I hooked up several systems, but mostly spent most of my time with the GameCube.
Yeah.
So I guess that doesn't really qualify, but...
Well, it does, because that didn't have HDMI, so it was something previous.
Right. Yeah. So I was at that little adapter, like you mentioned. I still have it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I hooked up the GameCube just to run around and play some Samus from... oh, my God. From the game.
Metroid?
There you go. My God. I couldn't think of it.
I played some Samus.
It left
from
me.
From the game.
Right. From the game with the thing. But but I'm with Scott. It's really, they've made it really hard to convince me to do it because I have to dig out the games that I have. I don't have a huge collection in a lot of those older systems, and you know, I've got all these minis over here.
Yeah, I got the minis. Right, I got the mini Genesis one. I want to get the mini.
If I get nostalgia, I do that.
Yeah. Those are all perfectly fine, and they have more games in them than I probably own for each one of those machines. So,
right. Absolutely.
I feel like let me put it this way. I love authenticity. I love to see an old arcade game with a CRT in it and the original boards and, you know, cleaned up mint condition outside, decals and everything. That's awesome. Love it, love it, love it. But if I'm doing it, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to get me a flat panel LED cheap display. I'm going to I'm not going to do crazy. Okay. Just not going
to
do it.
I would love to do that. I just haven't had the time, but yeah, that's a passion. That is such a lovely thing. So Naz2E, do you have one hooked up? And if you do, what do you have? Question back at you.
Yeah. He didn't explain any of that in his email. I kind of wish he did.
Or if listeners have anything and you have some cool pictures, send that into the emails or Twitters. And
yeah, let us know. Boopshow@gmail.com. Super easy. Send an email there. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's exactly what Naz2E did. And you can do it too. Boopshow@gmail.com. Okay, everybody. That's the show. My headache's still here, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It just means snow's
Scott,
coming.
What are you playing next week, though?
I have no freaking idea. I'll probably tear some ships apart. Probably that's what I'll do.
Loser.
I don't know what it'll be. I actually have this new deck builder thing. It's a new take
on it. Is it Retropolis?
No. It's called... Hold on. I'm going to open it because I actually played this a little. I just didn't get very much time with it. It is called... Come on, Steam.
We should totally both play our games next week because I got Retropolis, which is a roguelike deck builder and very, very light tower defense. real time. Well,
that sounds gameplay. Horrible. I don't want anything to do with it. It's good.
Well, like I said, don't get too upset about the tower defense. It's very, we've seen it in the past. This is another example of that is just really not what this game is about.
Oh, here it is. I did Fort Triumph last week, right? Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah, right.
Okay, so the one I played. Okay, right now it's between The Captain Is Dead, which is the game I told you about with like great main voices and terrible secondary voices.
Right.
Or, oh, get off of that. Okay, or it's called, where is it?
Where is it?
Oh, here it is. Arcanium. That's it.
Oh, yeah, Arcanium.
Arcanium. Reviewed pretty well so far. It's a deck builder with some twists, and that might be the game I play. I don't know. I don't know.
I never know.
I don't know what I'm doing. If I end up doing that, you guys will be the first to hear it, all right? And so actually Brian will be the first to hear it. The rest of you will hear it second. Anyway, that's next week here on The Boop Show. In the meantime, our website is frogpants.com/BOOP. You can find that email address I mentioned there, boopshow@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, @boopshow, @TheBrianDunaway, @ScottJohnson. And while you're at it, give us a follow on Twitch. I'm @FrogPants. Brian's @BrianDunaway. Brian, anything else you want to say before we go?
Yeah, I give this show 3 hairy boops out of 5.
3 hairy boops. We'll see you guys next week. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.